There's none like you, Jesus. There's nobody like you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch us on today, that you would anoint us on today. Lord, I don't want to see any left behind, that you would touch the minds of those who don't see the formation of the end right before their eyes. Touch, Lord God, the mind of those who think they have so much time to get it right. And let them see, Lord, that they don't have much time, but in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it could all be over. Help all of us, Lord God, to honor you, dedicate ourselves to you, commit ourselves to you. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, tear down the walls and partition of separation on today. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and that we will walk in the grace of God that is given to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he hung, bled, died, and rose again from the dead. We thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word that strengthens us. We thank you for your spirit that guides us. We thank you for your blood that cleanses and covers, cures and connects us to you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me clarity of thought and precision of speech, that I'm led of the Spirit as a son, a dear son of God. Father, that the words that I speak today, that there'll be life and truth, life and peace. There'll be spirit. They would enhance us and encourage us and give us an experience in you, Lord, that we will never forget. Father, let my tongue be as the pen, the golden pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which I should write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, peace, and miracles and prosperity to all that hear and believe. And Father, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, as you have blessed us once again with your presence. We'll join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you're holy. You're holy. You're holy, God, and we thank you now in the name of Jesus. Let the church say amen. Amen. We thank God for his will, his way. Amen. We thank God for his anointing. Destroy every yoke. Every yoke. Amen. Thank you. If you would today, I want you to look with me at 2 Kings chapter number 5. Verse 1 says, now Naaman, or Naaman as we call him, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because of him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. She waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, would God, my lord, share with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Let's go on down to verse 14. Verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. He returned to the man of God, and he and all his company came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will not receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto the other gods, but unto the Lord. And this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when thy master go into the house of Rimmon to worship there, he lean not on my hand and bow myself unto the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant of this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Let's stop. I want you to think about this, the blessing of being humble, honorable, and obedient. The blessing of being honorable, humble, and obedient. Amen? Amen. So may God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The king said, am I God to kill and to make alive? He started looking at himself. He started looking at his own ability. That's in verse 7. He started looking at his own ability. And see, sometimes that's what we do. We start looking at whether or not we're able, whether or not I got enough money in the bank. Hello. We start looking at whether or not we read enough or we prayed enough. Maybe God just want to do it. Oh, Lord, have mercy today. Verse 9 says, and Naaman came to Elisha. Now, the prophet heard about this letter, and he heard about the king renting his clothes. Elisha said, go tell the king, go tell him to send him here, that there is a prophet. But see, what happened is the king of Syria thought that the king of Israel would be smart enough to have a true prophet among him so that he could guide him and counsel him. Amen? That's where our government has gone wrong today, is that they have shunned the prophets or the preachers or the ministers of God, and they're going on to do what they think is right themselves. Amen? They won't hear what God is saying, which will cause people to be in so much distress because of their decisions. Amen? And so the king of Israel did not have a real prophet, but he had these puppet prophets. He had bootleg prophets. Oh, come on and say amen. People who called themselves prophets, they ate at tables and they wore prophetic clothes, but they couldn't give you a prophetic word. We got that in the churches today. People say that they are preachers. Come on and say amen. They build themselves up and sell themselves when we ought to be building up God and building his church. Oh, come on. And then giving, amen, and giving them the truth. Amen. Freely you've received, freely you ought to give. The Bible said, buy the truth and sell it not. I wish I had somebody. So he said, send the man to me. I can help him because I know you ain't got a prophet in your court to help him, but I can help him. So Naaman went up to the door of Elisha's house with all of his chariots, went up to the door, and Elisha didn't even come outside. Oh, come on and say amen. You see, Elisha, he gives us a lesson today. He didn't even show up outside to greet the man, but he sent a messenger to tell him, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River, and you'll be clean. 7 times. Oh, come on and say amen. Now, when people would bow 7 times in the Old Testament, that meant that they were totally submitted by the time they bowed on the 7th time. They were totally submitted. Amen? And so he was telling him to go to the Jordan and bow 7 times, or get in and wash up to the 7 times, which means that he would have to do that 7 times. And what that meant for him was that, God, I'm totally submitting to you. to handle and help you with your flesh problem, come on and say amen, then you have to totally submit to him. I wish I had somebody. Oh yeah, when you look at the number 7, it's the number of perfect completion of a thing. Amen. God wants us to be totally complete. He wants us to be perfect. Amen. That's why he gives us pastors, amen, and other fivefold ministry gifts so that we can be perfect for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints. Come on and say amen. And so he told him to go down, and Naaman got mad. See, just like today, y'all don't want to hear this. Naaman got mad because he didn't come out and wave his hand and at least touch the area of his body that his skin had turned. He got mad because he didn't do some theatrics. So many of us in the church today, we ain't going to move unless there's a theatrical experience. We're not going to move unless it looked like Hollywood. We've been entertained too long. We can't do, we don't believe that God is speaking unless somebody's gyrating and speaking in tongues. God can speak right now. I don't have to speak in nothing but one tongue. That's English. And God can be speaking to you right now. Oh yeah, we have been led wrong, especially in the Afro-American church. We have been led wrong to think that theatrics mean that you're holy. Theatrics mean that God is in the building. Theatrics mean that God is moving. Theatrics don't mean that God is doing anything. I'm reminded of a man named Zacharias who was John the Baptist's daddy. He went in the temple and the angel spoke to him, but he didn't believe, so God shut up his mouth. Can I get a witness? And then when he went out, he was moving his hands. And you know what the people said? That he must have seen a spirit and he heard something from God, but he couldn't tell them anything. You see, so many people, they preach the word and they say, and they hum real good, they holler real good, but have they said anything to you that'll get you healed, delivered, set free, or saved? Have they said, oh my God, today, oh Lord, we got to get past the theatrics and start seeing that God wants to speak to us and that God wants to move in our life, but he wants to do it by us in obedience. You see, we can hear, oh yeah, we had a good time at church. Well, what he preached, my boy, he sure did preach. What he preached about, I don't know, but it was good. That's what we say. I've heard that over the years. I've heard it over and over. I can't remember what he said, but boy, did he preach. I fell out on the floor. I was in between the pew. Oh yeah, if you don't hear it, it ain't doing you no good. Oh, I wish I had some help today. We get caught up in that, and we can't keep getting caught up in that, because what happens is people come and they give a good time and they walk out disobedient, and then God can't do what he wants to do in their flesh. God can't do what he wants to do in your life if you hadn't soaked up that word. That's why we got to get past the theatrics. I'll put the theatrics to the end. I'm not going to say, I heard somebody say, oh boy, he preached like Job horse pawing in the valley because he read the scripture and go to holler. That is not how I believe God wants me to do it. It may be for somebody else, but not for me, because I want you to hear what God. I hadn't prayed all this time and fasted and read the word so that I can get up and holler and you don't hear nothing. I want you to get something. If it ain't but one crumb, that crumb will sustain you. Oh yeah, if it ain't but one piece of bread, one nugget you got, if just one thing came from the message, I'm happy about that, because then God word got to you. Come on and say amen. But here he was upset because he didn't hoop. He didn't come out and holler at him. He didn't come out and wave his hands over him. He didn't come lay hands on him. He got mad because what he thought didn't happen, what he pictured in his mind it was supposed to be, didn't come to pass. See, we got to quit trying to put God in a box. God only moves the way I think he ought to move. God only does certain things the way I think he ought to do it. We need to get that out of our life. You see, this is coming from a man who don't even know this God. See, when you don't know God, you think God ought to do something the way that you want it done. Preach. When you don't know God, you think God ought to do it the way that you say it ought to be done. But God doesn't do it because you said it. God does it because if it's his will shall be done in heaven and in earth. Oh, yeah, but then all of a sudden, the Bible says that the company of his servants was with him, amen? And they talked to him and they said, you know, he said, they calmed him down and they said, you know, if he would have said, go dip in one of the better rivers of Damascus, would you have done it? And you know, he would have done it because that river was cleaner than the River Jordan. The River Jordan wasn't a clean river. A river, something like Cane River, it wasn't all that clean, but it was useful. Come on and say amen. One of the reasons why it wasn't that clean is because that's where they washed away their sin. I wish I had somebody. It was an unclean river. Amen. The River Jordan was the going down. In other words, you had to go down to get to that river. But in Syria, there was greater rivers, bigger rivers, better looking rivers. They wasn't no muddy rivers, but good rivers that I could have dipped in. That's what Naaman was saying. And they said, well, you might as well do it since you're here. If that's all he had to say, at least you could do is obey. See, when you got a person like Naaman, the reason I like Naaman is because Naaman didn't continue to walk in his pride. Some of us, you can tell us, you ought to at least try God. You ought to at least try his word. And we come, but you don't understand. I'm going to do it the way I feel like. Forget it. We get so much pride, and we can't look at ourselves and see that we're going to have a destructive fall because we walk in pride. We don't want to hear nobody else. We want to make excuses. I know what God told me. Do you know that it was really God? Well, if it contradicts his word, then he didn't say it. Really preach. Oh yeah, we always say, I know how to pray. I know how to read the word. Well, go read it then and see what God said. God will rebuke you in his word just like he'll use me to rebuke or anybody else to change your mind. God will speak to you through anybody. So happened it was his servants, and anybody who won't take wise counsel is a fool. Oh, come on and say amen. So his servants had talked to him, and he said, okay, I believe I'll try what you said. And they went down to the river. And the Bible says, I believe it's in verse 14, and he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. You need to do what God is saying to do. Amen. You need to be obedient. You need to be honorable and honor God in every way. You need to be humble and submissive to God. I'm telling you, do what the man of God is saying. He said that as he did this, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child and was clean. Oh yeah, the Bible says here that he dipped himself and his flesh became clean. You see, this man was a man of honor. It seemed like he didn't have no hope. But then he got a word from a little maiden. The Bible says that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I will pour my spirit on my handmaidens. And oh, come on and say amen. And my servants. So he poured his spirit on this girl. She prophesied and gave him hope that ultimately brought him a healing. Wish I had somebody to see here. She convinced him and gave him a testimony of her experience with God, and it caused Naaman to go down in the river and be clean. Amen. You see, you can't see how it transpired, but what I see is what God did. You don't have to say amen. What I see that God did here, that he took him down in the river as a little child. His flesh became as a little child. What we got to understand what he did in this scripture is that we got to be reminded of what God said, that if you come into the kingdom, you got to come as a little child. If you come into the kingdom, you got to come with the faith as a little child. Oh, then he also said that his skin came as a little child. I believe it was Jesus that said that you can't see the kingdom of God except you be born of his spirit and born of water. I wish I had somebody here. And the Bible says that you must be born again by him going in the water. It was almost like him being born again because he had a new skin. You see, some of you have some old skin that you've been walking in. Some old skin that will lie. Some old skin that will deceive. But God is saying, I want you to take off the old man and put on a new man. I got a new skin that I'm going to put you in. I wish I had somebody that realize what he done. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, do I have any beholders? Anybody that'll look and see that I'm a new creature? Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Anybody and say, I got some new stuff. I got a new attitude. I used to be prideful, but I got a new attitude. I used to be a doubter, but I got faith. I'm new. Oh, praise his name. I don't talk the way I used to because I'm brand new. I've been dipped. Anybody want another dip? I want another dip because the sixth dip, come on and say amen. You might have been dipped one time. I need to be merged in the spirit. You may have been dipped two times or three or four times. The sixth time you dipped, you didn't see no change. But oh, thank God. For the seventh time, Naaman was dipped. The seventh time he went down. The Bible says he came up and he looked at his skin. Can I use my Holy Ghost filled mind to imagine what Naaman did when he came up out of the river? See, what you got to understand here is that Naaman had to strip in front of all his family. He had to strip in front of the company of people, the caravan he bought. He stripped off his clothes, went down in the Jordan. Some of us need to strip. I need to strip off the facade that I've been hiding under. I've been putting this flesh. Don't you know that Naaman, he didn't want somebody looking at his problem, so he covered it up. He had to uncover it in order to dip. He had to uncover it in order to see the change. So you can't see a change till you uncover some things. I need to uncover this. Oh, praise his name. Y'all ain't gonna preach me to death. I'm gonna let you have it. I'm gone. Oh, praise his name. And the Bible says that he came up and looked. He said, I'm clean. When he came out of the water, I believe he was bouncing and shouting to the Lord. It really works. Anybody here know if you obey God that it really works? If you hear word from God and do just what he said, it really works. Say yeah. Say yes. The Bible says that he came out of the water. He didn't just go home. See, some of us will come out of it and we'll just go on about our business. We'll ride off in the sunset like a good old western. But look at what Naaman did. Naaman came back to the man of God who didn't come out to see him, back to the man of God who only sent him a message. Oh, praise his name. I wish you would see here what happened with Naaman. Naaman said, I came back not to ask nothing else, but I came back to be a blessing to you. You see, so many folks, when God does something for you, you forget what he's done, and you go back the next time. You didn't go back and say thank you. You didn't go back and say, Lord, I want to live for you. Didn't go back and say, Lord, I really appreciate you, but you went on your merry way. And then the next time we come back and ask for something else. But look at Naaman, somebody who didn't even know God. Naaman said, Elisha, I came to be a blessing, and I want everybody to know. Oh, come on and say yeah. You see, he got his healing, and it brought about a conversion. I wish I had somebody. When he got his healing and he got converted, it also brought a conviction, because he said, I want to let you know that my master over there, my king over there, that he serve a pagan god, but there is no other god except the God that's in Israel. I want everybody to know, and I want you to pray for me now, that when I get back over there, my heart's not going to be in it. I got to go to the temple because of my position, but my heart ain't in worshiping a pagan god, because my heart is with the only true and wise God. I wish I had somebody that say, my heart is filled. Say, my heart is with God. Oh, praise his name. Oh, give him glory. He said, I pray you that you take this blessing
Elisha said, no, I don't want your blessing because God is already. You see, many of us, we would have did like Gehazi. Gehazi went after him and got the blessing. Then he got the leprosy that went with that blessing. You see, some of you have been praying and taking stuff that gives you a leprosy, something that's going to destroy you. That's another message. But let me back up. Look at what Naaman did. Naaman said, man of God, since you won't take the blessing, the least you could do is let me take some dirt from out your yard. Oh, praise his name. I wish you could read it. He said, let me get some dirt. I got two mules, and as much as they can carry, let me carry some dirt back to Syria so I can build an altar and offer sacrifices. I wish I had somebody that seen what Naaman did. Do you know what Naaman did? Naaman say, in Syria, we got good rivers. In Syria, we got a great king. In Syria, we got plenty of gold, but we don't have no holy ground. I need some dirt. Anybody here say it? I need some dirt from out your yard. I wanted to name it that. Give me some dirt from out your yard. Oh, praise his name. Because if I can take the dirt back to Syria, I believe I'll be all right. Say yeah. So I can build an altar to pray to God for. Oh, praise his name. Now let me blow your mind. We got to see something here. The Bible says that in Genesis, God took the dirt from Eden. Oh, come on, praise his name. And he made a man with that dirt. Come on and give God glory. Let me give you a revelation, and I'm going to let you go home. He took that dirt and he made man so that nowadays we don't have to take dirt out of Elijah's yard. But since I'm made of dirt, and this dirt, he said, it's holy. He said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So wherever I go, there's holy dirt. Say, wherever I go, I am the altar. I can sacrifice prayers. Wherever I go, I am the dirt. I came to build an altar, so I lift my hands so it'll look like an altar. I lift my hands so it look like the horns that goes on the altar, so that God will, he'll sit on the mercy seat. When he sits on the mercy seat, he holds me up. Say yeah. When he sits on the mercy seat, he heals me. Say yeah. Say yeah. I know he's all right. Say yeah. Say yes. Can I get some dirt? Ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I've been looking around the yard. Do you mind if I get some dirt? Say yes here. We got to realize what's in the dirt. I'm through, y'all. I was supposed to quit a long time ago, but the Holy Ghost says, you got to see what's in the dirt. What is in the dirt? Because some things deteriorated in the dirt. There's still life in the dirt. If you take one tree and plant it in some more dirt, it can still live. There's life in the dirt. If you take an onion